think that's me all night. Yes, good evening. I was away at a wedding there for the weekend, just back this afternoon. And you know the way you enter into a lot of small talk at these events? There was one guy I was chatting with, and I don't know how Prince Harry came up, but we were talking about Prince Harry and his claim that he didn't want to be king. Now, we reckoned it was because he was so far away from ever being king that he just decided that. But he said he didn't want to be king. And I was thinking, you know, because what I'm speaking about this evening is about a king. And the king that we're talking about, King Jehoash, of course, he was the old school of king. He was the sort of king that does what he wants. He's almost like a semi-god, he's treated that way. Whatever he says goes, whatever he decides goes. And the Bible tells us he wasn't a great king. Bible tells us, it says here that he did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit, and he continued in them. So this guy is not a very godly king. And we're going to come back to him in a minute, but I would like to do a reading from 2 Kings chapter 13. So if you've got a Bible, you can open there. And we'll find out a wee bit. We're not really talking about King Jehoash, so we will mention him. It's the man he comes to see, Elisha. We've been looking at Elisha. We've been looking at how, using Elisha as an example to illustrate that following God ain't all doom and gloom. Sometimes we get the wrong impression that becoming a Christian is the most dull thing that you could do, the most boring thing, and it's all doom and gloom. And what we're highlighting from the life of Elisha is that it's not like that at all. I'm not saying that it doesn't come without suffering. Of course, God promises there'll be suffering. But following God, God is the creator God, and you just have to look at this world that he created to know that he isn't dull and boring. Number one, he created it in Technicolor. You know, he could have done it black and white. He created Technicolor. He created sounds and music. It's just phenomenal. You just look around, it doesn't take you long to think about creation, and you realize that God isn't a doom and gloom God. And so following God, being adopted into God's family, isn't a life of doom and gloom. There's so much to it. It's unbelievable. Well, in saying all that, we're dealing with the sickness and death of Elisha, which I suppose does bring a wee bit of doom and gloom into anyone's life, getting sick and dying. But let's read our passage. Chapter 13 of 2 Kings, starting at verse 14. Now, Elisha was suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoash, that's the king that I mentioned earlier, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows, and he did so. Then Elisha says, take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. And when he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram. Aram is one of the enemies of the king of Israel here. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared. You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows, and the king took them. And Elisha told him, strike the ground. And he struck it three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Like, I don't know how he was supposed to know that, but he was supposed to realize he should have done it five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it, but now you will only defeat it three times. Then Elisha died and was buried. And then there's this other wee story that we're going to read just for the next couple of verses. Now, Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. And once, while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. Now, we're saying that following God ends all doom and gloom. And no matter what Elisha ends up doing, there's always some interesting things happening. Like Elijah before him. You know, it certainly isn't a boring life that these guys led. And no matter what happens, and we see here in this story, even after Elisha dies, the strange things are still happening. There he is, buried. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he's been dead. Could have been years for all we know. And these guys are about to bury this guy, and then all of a sudden they see the raiders coming, and they throw the body into Elisha's tomb, and the guy springs to life. And amazing things happening even after his death. Following God certainly isn't dull. But one thing I wondered in this story, we'll get back to this king, King Jehoash. Now, I've already read to you the fact that the Bible says he's not a godly man. Instead of turning to God and the children of Israel following him, he actually just continued to do all the evil things that his ancestors had done. And so he wasn't a good king, he wasn't a godly king. Yet, you see, when he hears that Elisha's sick, he runs down to him. This is the king, remember. This isn't... And he's not one of these kings that does anything out of, you know, just having to do it. He doesn't have to do anything. He's genuinely concerned. Elisha's dying, and it shows. Because when he comes in, he's weeping. And he cries out, "My father, my father." He has a respect for Elisha. And it's funny because I see it that he regards Elisha a wee bit like his inside man, his man that he has placed in God's camp so that he can find out things from God. Because he's not a godly man. He's not following the ways of God, but that doesn't mean he doesn't believe in God. You know, the whole idea of being an atheist, that's a completely modern idea. Guys back then always believed in a God at least, maybe many gods. And the king was no different. And so Elisha was his man in God, Yahweh's camp. And so he trusted what he would say as coming from God. And he respected him. And he saw this as a great catastrophe for him, that Elisha was dying. Elisha is his contact with God. And even now, we see that in this story. Even as Elisha is dying, he's still bringing God's good news, or God's news, it's not always good, for this sort of king, but he brings God's good news to him, and he gives this word of prophecy that says, you know, you're going to defeat King Aram. I don't know whether this, well, it obviously will cheer the king up, but it probably even highlights to the king even more how much he's going to miss Elisha. I think the king, as great and mighty as a king is, that he's going to feel a little bit more alone when Elisha is gone. A little bit more that some of the safety that he receives from what Elisha tells him will have gone. I never think we can hear too often the caution about how we need as individuals to have our own relationship with God. There is no point being like this king and depending on somebody else's relationship with God. Now, back in these days, God would have only used these special men that he anointed to bring his good news or his news or to do whatever. He always used these prophets that he had anointed. But as we've been seeing on Sunday mornings, he's opened up the way. We were singing about it tonight. He's opened up the way so that we can all come in and have a personal relationship with him. And that is what the Christian life is about. And if you do not have a personal relationship with him, do not be depending on somebody else's relationship. Do not be depending on the fact that you come to Shiloh. Because you never know, you might come someday and Shiloh will have gone. Don't be depending on your partner for their relationship with God. Don't be depending on some other Christian that you know as your friend. You know, and as I was preparing this, I was thinking of you, Mark, because I know there's so many people in the communities that have Taddy as their inside man with God, and they sort of think, you know, flip, if it's anything to do with God, go to see Taddy. you know, he'll tell us what to do. But the day's coming when Taddy will die. And I, hopefully not too soon. Hopefully not. You'll not be able to take funerals. They'll have to dump their bodies in yours and hope that they spring back to life again. But I know that there'll be a lot of people that will be very worried as soon as their inside man with God disappears. Because all of a sudden they'll feel very much on their own. Because so many people they believe in God. And it's always obvious, because as soon as a catastrophe comes, they go and run and see Taddy. Or maybe they run to see you. Maybe you have people that as soon as there's a catastrophe in their life, they come to you and go, will you pray for me? Because they believe in God, but they don't have their own relationship with God. So it's important for us to have our own relationship with God. Do not depend on someone else's relationship with God. Do not depend on your church that you go to. Do not depend on the man you watch on television or the woman you watch on television telling you about God. It's all about your own relationship with God. Back to our Prince Harry. We were debating, me and my friend were debating about the good that he does. And it's now a real characteristic of the royals that they do a lot of good work. And it is fantastic, a lot of the things they do, a lot of the charities they support, and a lot of the sort of lobbying almost that they do for good causes. They do a lot of good. But you see, no matter what happens, their legacy will slowly but surely fade away. Doesn't matter if Prince Harry did become king and did the most amount, give every single penny the royals have away to doing good works, his legacy will eventually fade away, and it will eventually be confined to the history books. The great thing about following God, and remember, it's the fact that following God ain't all doom and gloom. And one of the great and wonderful things about following God is even the smallest good work that we do in the name of Jesus, it doesn't fade away, because God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. The kings of this world, this king here, Jehoash, he's going to die. Everything that he has done in his life would eventually just be confined to the history books. His legacy would go. But everything we do in the kingdom of God, everything Elisha did, would only increase. The legacy that Elisha left was a legacy that is still bearing fruit. Everything King Jehoash did, it doesn't count for anything anymore. But the things that Elisha did, even tonight, are bearing fruit in our lives as we listen to these stories. And that is a wonderful thing about following God. You have a purpose. You have a role to play. The investment that you make in the kingdom of God is an everlasting investment. It is an investment that keeps growing and growing and growing. It'll never fade away. It'll never be forgotten. Not my notes, but in Revelation, it talks in one of the churches about how they would be remembered like a pillar in the temple of God. And the pillars were a place that would be engraved with things that would be remembered. And so it is in the kingdom of God that the things that we do will be remembered forever. They will bear fruit forever because God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You want something to get excited about. We always want to make a difference. We always want to, have a legacy that maybe when we die our name won't be forgotten so quickly. We hope that there will at least be a handful of people turn up at our funeral. You'll never know. you want to have done good. You want to have made a difference. Well, let me tell you, it's only the difference that we make for the kingdom of God that will be remembered forever. No matter what you do in this life, it will be forgotten one day, except for what we do in the kingdom of God. And the other thing that I should mention is that, in the kingdom of God, it's a funny old kingdom. It's a wee bit upside down. It doesn't work the way that the world works. And so even the smallest wee thing, Jesus talks about even providing a glass of water for somebody. Would never be forgotten, that faithfulness. And you would receive a reward. Even the small, insignificant things, even the things that you maybe are complete, if you're walking on following God, even things that you have no idea about, like, do you think Elisha had any idea that when he was dead, somebody was going to be brought back to life because they were thrown in on top of his bones? No, he had no idea. And so it is with us. We have no idea as we follow God some of the great and wonderful treasures that we are building up as God works through us and does miraculous things through us that we have no idea about. You could be even, Stephen could have been praying here. And as he was praying, God could have used some of the words he said to affect somebody, to change somebody forever. And Stephen will never know. He'll never be any the wiser. And I'm sure in the wake, as we are faithfully following God, now if we're just doing our own thing, are not investing in the kingdom of God, well, we're just building up rubbish. It's like that fire that will be burnt at the end, or that house that will be burnt by fire at the end. It'll just all be consumed. But rather, when we're faithful to God and we're walking with Him, I'm almost sure we're leaving a big litter of treasures behind us, things that we don't realize that we're doing in the kingdom of God. Just like Elisha here, that after he was dead, he had no idea what he was doing. He'd long gone, he was with God, or in the bosom of Abraham, or whatever way you want to say it. So even the small things bear everlasting fruit, and even the things that we're not aware of. Well, I think to sum up tonight, and we'll get back to Harry, I think. He says he doesn't want to be king. Well, I have to say, if he came knocking my door and asked me, Dave, would you like to be king? I don't need to worry about it. Never going to happen. But if he did, what would I say? Well, there's always that wee temptation that would go, it'd be a bit of fun. But really, I think we'd all agree it wouldn't be as much fun as you would think. So I wouldn't want to be king. But I have another reason why I wouldn't want to be king. Because all that treasure, all that wealth, all that importance, all that thinking that you're of value counts for nothing. But here's the thing. Christian life's all by faith. You hear that nearly every time you hear a sermon. It's all about faith. It's all about stuff that we don't see. Because you see, we're portrayed as princes almost in the kingdom of God. Co-regents. And so, we are princes, princesses in the kingdom of God. Now, I say it's by faith because we don't feel that way. We don't look that way. We don't have. I don't have a big sack of crowns to hand out so that we can all have our wee mini crowns so that we know for sure. It's by faith. And because it's nothing to do with us, it's because of what God has done for us. It's Him who gives them to us. It's like giving us His crown as He asks us to have dominion on this earth. It's by faith. But one of the reasons I wouldn't want to be king, and it's hard, because the king gets lots of goodies that we can feel and touch. But I'd rather be a prince in the kingdom of God. I'd rather be a prince in the kingdom of God, even though I can't feel, I can't see it, I can't taste it, I can't touch it. But we walk in faith. As we all walk as princes by faith, we are investing in the kingdom of God. And we entitled this series, Following God Ain't All Doom and Gloom. It is certainly by faith and not doom and gloom to realize that we are laying up treasures for ourselves that will last forever. We are in the family of the Creator God, who, as we see as we look around creation, is the most exciting God that we could ever imagine. The most inventive, the most creative God that you could ever imagine. And if we're laying up treasure for ourselves in His kingdom, well, there's no doom and gloom there. And even long after we depart from this life here on earth, we will be reaping the treasures of God's kingdom forever and forever. And the other beauty of that is it just gives more and more and more glory to God. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for the likes of Elisha, faithful servants of yours. And Lord, I just want to thank you for the good that he was able to do. And Lord, those treasures that he did, Lord, last forever. Lord, those riches, that investment that he made in your kingdom is an eternal investment. And Lord, while we sometimes would be tempted to prefer to be kings of this earth, Lord, and receive our earthly treasure, let us always be acutely aware that it will not last. Nothing in this world lasts. But rather, Lord, your kingdom lasts forever. And Lord, as we reign with you, we last forever too. And Lord, I just pray for every single person here that they would be in a place that they have the confidence of a relationship with you. Lord, not a relationship with their church, not a relationship with some other Christian, but Lord, a relationship with you. Because Lord, that is what defines us as Christians, that we are in your family. And that you are our Father, and that you have adopted us into your family. Lord, thank you for glorifying yourself through us. In the name of Jesus, amen.